Professor Brent Wilson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be speaking with you.
Mr. Wilson, how did this project come about, this booklet about the letters of a hurricane pilot?
Yeah, in the summer of 2006, Barbara Gill approached us had a whole collection of letters and photographs and other kinds of documentary evidence related to her uncle, Harry Gill. She asked us if we were interested in looking at it and perhaps using it to form the basis of one of the books in our book series. And once I started looking at the collection, I realized almost immediately that we had a great source of information that would make for a great book in the series.
Now, Harry Gill, the pilot of this hurricane fighter plane, was obviously a prolific letter writer. How common was that back then?
Oh, I think it was pretty common, especially for young men like Harry Gill. He was only 18 when he joined up and about 19 when he finally made it over to Britain, so he had been living at home. So he still had a very close connection with his family and his community, and that continued throughout his whole wartime experience. You can see from the letters that he talks about meeting other New Brunswickers and sometimes even other people from his community. And he was always asking for newspapers, local newspapers, to be sent to him. So he maintained a very close connection with home, and I think that was a very common experience for many Canadian soldiers and airmen and sailors during the Second World War.
The letters start out and continue pretty much up to the end about how exciting this life was for them. And at one point, there are people who died along the way in training crashes and in battle, and he treats it kind of matter-of-factly.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's one of the real strengths of the letters and of the book itself, because it's a series of letters and not a memoir that was written 40 or 50 years after the event. It has a kind of immediacy and a kind of spontaneity, too, I would say, especially in Harry's letters, that really gives you a sense of what this whole experience meant for him as a young man growing up in a small place in New Brunswick who suddenly finds himself halfway around the world involved in a global war. And you see from his letters, you're right, the excitement that he felt at being a part of this, especially learning how to fly. He found himself serving in the RCAF and then later on the RAF once he went to Britain. And sometimes I think in letters that were written to family members, especially back home, most of these letters were written to his mother. I think they're sometimes a bit guarded, especially about the deaths of the, in his case, the other flyers that he was serving with. I think they were trying to shield their family as much as they could. About the stark realities of the war he was engaged in order to shield them, as I say, from the ultimate consequences that could happen.
Throughout this book as well, he's obviously engaged in a lot of hair-raising situations. And as you say, the memoirs afterwards would be describing battles and how this happened and that happened, very exciting stuff. In the letters, of course, as you say, he has to be guarded because of censors wouldn't allow this kind of thing through. So you don't get the battle scenes that you might get in other types of books. So what do these kind of letters tell you about the personal experience of a young man?
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right that those letters were, in fact, censored, something that Harry Gill, he wasn't very happy about that, but that was the way they did things. And sometimes, unfortunately, he wrote some of his letters on both sides of the page, so when they censored something on one side, it also redacted, we would call it now, the information on the other side, and so the families couldn't really read the letters completely. But that's the nature of letter writing during wartime. So as historians, we just have to accept that and work with it. But I think the letters really show, from a personal point of view, what his experience was like during the war. One of the things that really came through for me was his sense of humor that we see throughout these letters. Perhaps that was a kind of defense mechanism for himself as well as for his family. But I think I have the sense that that's who he was as an individual. And so we see a young man going through this experience. We see him maturing as a serviceman in a wartime situation, but he never loses his sense of humor. And I was always impressed by that. And he was extremely candid in some ways, maybe not about the flying experience, but in other things that he was doing with, especially his mother. One of the things I remember very clearly from one of his letters that he wrote from Toronto, where he was doing some of his training before he went overseas, he talked about going to the Canadian National Exhibition and going to all of the displays. He said he didn't miss one of them, and including three striptease shows, which he really enjoyed, and he still remembered the way the women shook their hips back and forth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 19 years old, I don't think I was telling my mother that kind of information, but that was the kind of guy he was, and I think that's the kind of relationship that he had with his family.
Tell me, these came to you from his niece, Barbara Gill.
Yes.
What was she telling you about going through these letters and then seeing them in a book form? How did that affect her?
Oh, I think it had a major effect on the whole family. Harry Gill's young sister, Florence, is still alive. She still lives in Fredericton. And I think seeing the way the letters were being used in the book and how it was bringing Harry Gill's experience to light and allowing people they still know the Gill family in Fredericton or South Devon, section of Fredericton today. I think it had a major impact on both the family as well as the community to see his memory being preserved in this way. And Barb she worked very closely with me on the book and was very happy, very pleased, and honored, I guess, in some ways, that Harry's story was being told like this. It certainly made it, in some ways, a very different experience for me too, as the editor, to actually work with family members on the story.
Now the book ends rather suddenly, as it would have in real life. I mean, there's a letter that says, "Well, hope that this letter finds everybody fine and fit as a fiddle. Love, Harry." And that's the last they got of him, because the next thing is this dreaded telegram.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience for people at the time.
Well, I think it was devastating for the family, especially for his mother. At some level, it's always in the back of your mind that something like that might happen. But they probably don't want to really think about it, although it's probably happening to other families around you. I think people hope that they just won't get one of those telegrams. And when they do, I don't think any family can really be prepared for it. It's still an enormous shock, even though in some of Harry's letters, especially to his father, not so much his mother, but his father, he kind of hinted about that. He said that he intended to come home, but if the worst happened, that the Air Force would notify them, and they would help to look after them during that terrible time.
Now, we know that Harry Gill was shot down in a battle with Japanese fighter planes. What happened in that case?
Well, the fighter squadron, the Hurricane squadron that Harry Gill was flying with, the RAF squadron, was transferred to India in the summer of 1942. And then they began active operations against the Japanese soon after that. And by December, he was fully engaged in air combat with Japanese Zeros. And on January 17th, as you said, 1943, four Japanese aircraft descended on him, and his plane was shot down quite close to the border between India and Burma. And his body was recovered, and so he's buried in a Commonwealth War Graves Commission cemetery in Bangladesh today, about halfway around the world from where he grew up.
Professor Wilson, as a military historian, how important are letters like this for you?
Oh, I think they're very important. They bring the experience of these service personnel home to us in ways that we might not really think about. Without these kinds of letters, people like Harry Gill can simply become names on a page, but with the letters, we begin to see them as human beings caught up in these enormous events going on around them, and see how it affected them at a personal level. For me anyway, those kinds of personal experiences are really what history is about.
Professor Brent Wilson, thank you very much for this.
Thank you.